So this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, I was sending.
Hello, everyone, and welcome in to a Thursday pre-4th of July edition of Overtime here. Yes, the last overtime of the week. If you've been listening to any of Fan Run Radio today, you might have heard that the station has a holiday tomorrow. The Godfather was gracious enough to give everyone tomorrow off. It's making a three-day weekend for the 4th of July holiday. So grateful to Nate for making that happen. So with that being said, this is basically our Friday show. And things might get weird today because things usually get weird on our Friday edition of the program. So you might want to stay tuned, see what happens between now and 8 o'clock. I'm Tanner Carson. I've got Tucker Holt running the board. And to my left, we have Logan Quinton once again. He's making his third appearance on Overtime. Boys, how are we doing today? Happy early 4th of July.
Yeah, feeling good. I've got some semblance of a weekend coming up, so I plan to celebrate accordingly.
Tucker. Right there with you. Yeah, I've got a big old cookout tomorrow. Woo. With the family.
Nothing like that 4th of July cookout.
Oh, yeah.
It's, of all, like, the cookout holidays, which, how many would be considered cookout holidays? Like, you got Memorial Day, of course.
Definitely.
Labor Day. And then the 4th. Am I missing one? Am I missing, like, a cookout holiday?
I mean, I cook out, you know. It's not a holiday, but that first Saturday football season, that's a holiday.
Well, that's Labor Day. That's Labor Day weekend.
Father's Day?
Oh, okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Father's Day's
Day
a good
could
one.
Be. So we got four of them at least. So, but out of all the four we just named, though, 4th of July, best cookout holiday?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a must.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I mean, a lot of people love the Memorial Day cookout. A lot of people really celebrate Labor Day with a cookout.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, I skew towards Memorial Day because it always falls on the weekend of my birthday. So I get to double up.
That you do.
So everybody's really nice to me on Memorial Day.
And to me, that's like the unofficial kickoff of summer.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not technically summer, but it's summer. You're outside, you're grilling, you're throwing back a few cold ones.
It's absolutely summer down here.
Yeah.
Right.
It became summer here, like, in late April.
Yeah.
That's what happens down around this part of the country. But, yeah, 4th of July is my favorite cookout holiday. That's like the only holiday I will have some type of cookout with my family. I might go to a buddy's house on, like, another holiday if they're cooking out. But the only holiday my family really makes sure they have a cookout, they whip the grill out, get down to business, it's always going to be the 4th.
Oh, there's not much better. I mean, what sucks about this year, we were supposed to have Ronald Acuna versus Mike Trout on the 4th of July.
Oh, that's a shame.
We won't have those fireworks, but we can still do our own celebratory practices, whatever we choose to dive into. But, yeah, I plan to make the most of it, even though it's such a unique year. Still going to relax and have fun.
You got to pretend that the Rona's not spiking everywhere around you.
Yeah.
And that we're still waiting on baseball and the NBA to start back.
Yep.
But, oh, my goodness, baseball is happening, though. Logan, I saw the videos today. Just players just taking BP.
Yeah.
And even though it's not a game or anything like that, it's just people just hitting in the cage. I loved hearing the sound of that bat smacking
it's
the
so
ball.
It's so good.
Leather popping. I saw there was a video. I don't know what the source was, but it was Charlie Culberson, Johan Camargo, Ronald Acuna, and Ozzy Albies working out in the same area. I don't even know if it was at Truist Park or some other facility.
I hate that we have to call it Truist Park now, by the way.
Terrible.
It's
an terrible
name.
Let's just – the Hank.
I'm fine with
it's,
it.
That's what I'm going
Perfectly
to refer to the park from now on. But, no, they were in the cage, not batting, but they were doing a fire toss drill is what some would call it, where they're not very spaced out, and they're just getting their arms loosed up. But they're, you know, probably 20-30 feet away from each other firing off and doing like a round the world type thing. And they were all just at the end of the video, someone asked, it sounded like in Spanish, you know, "Are you ready?" And asked all of them, and the last one was Johan Camargo to answer, and he said, "Hell yeah."
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it so much. It's going to be here before we know it, because it's already July, man, and then it's going to be the end of the month before we even realize it, and then MLB's getting the season started. I almost said back, but they haven't actually started, technically. I don't count spring training. They haven't actually started the season. So they will begin in about 3 weeks, and then in the end of the month, of course, NBA. We're at the cusp of it.
We're right at the cusp. Things could be so exciting at the end of this month. I just hope we don't.
I hope we don't have bad news about college football.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a biggie. That's definitely a biggie. I'll go ahead and transition into what we're going to kick off the show talking about here story-wise. Easy transition talking about college football. Well, today, I might have completely memory-holed this, guys, but before the news came out about Texas A&M's penalties and Jimbo Fisher's penalties and what we'll spend time talking on here, Jay Graham's punishment from the NCAA, were y'all even aware that A&M was being investigated for recruiting violations?
No, I wasn't.
Nah, not really. Hadn't really paid much attention to A&M.
I'm sure maybe it was something that however many months ago when they started this investigation that I saw my timeline and saw a few reporters react to in a few tweets, and then immediately it's just like people forget.
Yeah.
Because I completely forgot.
Yeah.
News goes by about a week, and it's there for about, especially with something like that where stuff hadn't even come out yet, that lasts for about 6 hours in that news cycle.
Yeah.
So when the initial reports came out about the punishments that Texas A&M would receive for recruiting violations, it stems from impermissible contact with a high school prospect. So the A&M-specific news is what most people were focusing on, and especially as it relates to Jimbo Fisher. Here are Jimbo Fisher's punishments. A 6-month show cause order for the head coach. The terms of the show cause order include a previously served 9-day ban on phone calls, emails, or texts with prospects in January 2020, a reduction in off-campus recruiting contact days by 3 for December 2019 through January 2020 contact period, a ban on all off-campus recruiting activities for the fall 2020 contact period, additional one-on-one rules education, and a public statement from the head coach addressing the violation. So when I first saw Jimbo Fisher receive the show cause, as a coach, that's like the worst thing you can get from the NCAA is the term show cause. We know about show causes around here in Knoxville, especially as it relates to Tennessee basketball. Bruce Pearl show cause. Donnie Tindall show cause.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on a tangent about the NCAA and Donnie Tindall, but it's still so weird he got a 10-year show cause, right?
That was a special case.
He had a show cause. I know he was a filthy cheater, and he deserved to be punished, but at the same time, the NCAA gave that man, do you all realize this? They gave him the same length of a show cause, 10 years, that Dave Bliss, the former Baylor men's basketball head coach back in the day, received for, just helping cover up a murder.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, murder.
I mean, you could make the argument that they're equal.
I'm going to make the argument you shut the hell up. You need to quit right now. You need to quit right now. Back to the topic at hand, though. So I see the show cause. I see 6-month show cause. That makes me think, does that mean that we have a season Jimbo Fisher can't be the head coach? It's actually a recruiting show cause.
Right.
Which is, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for you to be the head coach of an SEC program and be limited in what you can do for recruiting. Recruiting's pretty big when you're an SEC West school, when you have all that competition around you. Still some stiff penalties. So those penalties I just mentioned, along with other penalties that have already been served, they were dealt with by Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher already going through a lot of trouble just to go 9-7 so far in the SEC. I think that's interesting. Anyway, getting back to it here. However, there is also an assistant coach involved in these recruiting violations. And soon following the news of Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M's punishments from the NCAA, the news was revealed that the assistant in question is now current Tennessee running backs coach and VFL on the field, Jay Graham, who was just at Texas A&M. Oh, that's great.
Not the best of news, but
not good.
It's far from the worst. Up to this point, the Vols have had an outstanding offseason where it's been recruiting, navigating through coronavirus, at this point unscathed. Now we have a little hiccup here, you know, but as long as Jay Graham, you know, takes care of things and doesn't go outside the boundaries while he's here. And, you know, they Trey Wallace released the statement on Twitter mm-hmm. and in his article today that the Tennessee staff, including Pruitt, knew about this. Mm-hmm. So yeah. They brought Jay Graham on board knowing what was at stake and knowing what had happened. So that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, people involved with either covering the program or people have sources inside the program, they were pretty much just expecting this the moment he was hired.
Right.
They knew this is something that was going to happen. It's not, as you already said, Logan, it's far from the worst thing that can happen when you talk about an assistant coach being punished for something that he did at his previous job. Here are Jay Graham's specific penalties, though. He gets a six-month show cause order for himself when it comes to recruiting. The terms of the show cause order include a previously served 9-day ban on phone calls, emails, or texts with prospects in January 2020, a reduction in off-campus recruiting contact days by 3 for the December 2019 through January 2020 contact period, a ban on all off-campus recruiting activities for the fall 2020 contact period, and additional one-on-one rules education. He pretty much gets the exact same thing Jimbo Fisher received, with the exception of he doesn't have to make a public statement about it, addressing it. That's the only difference here. It's not great news to talk about, but if UT is confident in saying that, yeah, we already were aware of this, it's no big deal, then I'm not going to freak out and say it's a big deal. I think I'd be preaching to the choir if I told you all that, hey, man, the rules get bent. That's just what happened in this world of recruiting. Some people are far, far more dirtier at it. Let's be thankful that this is all they punished Jay Graham with.
I mean, what better time to have these type of ramifications fall on you? I mean, it sounds like is extreme social distancing. So, and there's a strong possibility there won't be football this fall. I hope I'm wrong, but if that's the case, then you know, that six-month show cause isn't really going to affect anything, and it might not be that impactful even if we do play football.
Yeah, that's the thing. All it really does is impact what you can do when it comes to off-campus recruiting. Football or not, he will not be allowed to recruit off-campus during the contact period right. for fall of this year, which sucks. One of the reasons we got Jay Graham was the fact that, hey.
Strong recruiter.
Just like so many other assistants on the staff, right? So,
right.
Jerry Pruitt's built up the staff of recruiting henchmen, for lack of a better term.
That's so, another factor. Yeah. It makes me feel better that like we have plenty of guys to pick up the slack, you know, to whether it's Niedermeyer or whoever.
Someone's going to have to take his place.
Yeah.
There's some chatter that, hey, remember who we have as like an analyst right now who was just a offensive coordinator at Notre Dame not that long ago, Chip Long?
Yeah.
Just put him out there on the road.
Yeah.
Put him out there on the road.
Yeah, he'd be just fine.
So, yeah, this isn't as concerning as it looked on the headline. So, I saw the headline.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, does this mean that he can't coach? Like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, that would be really bad, is if he was unable to coach.
Yeah, that would be very impactful.
Yeah.
Especially with how important the running backs group is going to be to this squad this year.
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to be a massive impactful group for this team. I mean, they're pretty much going to carry the weight of the load on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we get, you know, if we don't get much higher quarterback play than we did last year.
Right.
So, Yeah. Thankfully, that's not. No, it's just recruiting. And I mean, is anybody doing off-campus recruiting right now? You said with the coronavirus and all that stuff, it will make an impact. Like, I don't think they'd be even allowed to in the first place.
Right, yeah.
So, okay. I mean, I'm not that. Yeah, fine. He can serve his term.
Whole lot more awful things to be in the news over. I mean, we could be like Clemson right now and have people wondering if we're purposely trying to infect our team to get
herd immunity.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't put that past Dabo.
No.
I really don't.
Not
There's
at all.
So many of them.
Not at all.
There's so many of them who have tested positive. And real quick here, this is kind of topical when it comes for Tennessee football. If we are going to play this season, at least if we're going to play some of it, Oklahoma, very important. Oklahoma just now got back to resuming voluntary workouts, by the way.
Right.
So they're already behind us by almost a month. Not only that, they've had like... Let me try to find the number. I think they've had like 14 positives as soon as they got back.
Man.
So not only are you already behind Tennessee a little bit in the offseason preparation, you're getting hit with the Rona, in which Jeremy Pruitt yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show proudly boasting, knock on wood, thus far that Tennessee, zero positives.
I mean, I think there's something to that. I mean, that's pretty impressive because there's – not many teams out there that can say that.
It's making me think we're actually following guidelines.
I think so. I think there's something there.
Michigan had a bunch of like their players and staff get tested. They had, let me see the exact number. They had about like 194 people tested, so a big sample size. They only returned how many positives? They had like a handful. They had like a handful. So you can see what programs are trying their best to actually follow everything. And you can see the ones that say they're going to be as safe as possible, but you question what's actually going on.
Right.
And also, you can't forget, you really cannot forget the fact that your staff can do all that they can. The athletic department can do all they can to make these workouts safe, to make these facilities sanitized and safe. You know who still has the responsibility, right? It's the players themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's going to be a hard thing to do for some of these guys because they're college kids being told you can't be a normal college kid.
Yep.
In which they're already not normal college kids anyway. If you're playing Division I football, that's already demanding enough as it is. But then you're being told you can't even have leisure time like you used to. Once school starts again and – I guess depending on what state you're in now with some of the rise in these cases, I don't know what it looks like by August, September, if these bars open again or these restaurants, you can't be going out there and doing the same thing. Jeremy Pruitt's got to look at Brian Maurer and some others and JG and Ty Chandler. He's got to look at a bunch of them and say, you can't go to Cool Beans.
Yeah.
I better not see you at Hannah's.
Yeah.
Studio X, not the question.
If campuses around the country are open – during football season, I don't know how we get through it.
I don't know either, which it brings it to a point of another news item released earlier today. USC out there in L.A., they are backtracking a little bit.
I saw that.
From saying that we're going to have kids on campus in classes, at least for the fall, they might primarily or exclusively be online.
Yep. You wonder how many more follow suit.
Which people see the headline and they think to themselves, oh, does this put USC football happening more in dire straits? Wouldn't you want your school to be doing that?
Right.
Wouldn't you not want your football players being in close proximity with the general population of students?
Right.
I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that makes you think you wouldn't have football. Are people thinking that because that eliminates the need for you to be on campus, or what's the deal with that? I don't know why people see that and freaks them out. I could be missing something here, but if Tennessee announced that, hey, we are going to have this special plan for our student athletes to take the majority, if not all, of their classes online, thumbs up.
More power.
I'm all for it. Eliminate the risk.
I think that's what you need to do. I mean, I don't know why you would be against something like that. Honestly, I would say a lot of these athletes would prefer online classes.
Yes.
I mean, depending on who you are, I would say it would get pretty annoying being in class, say you're, you know, Eric Gray, and you have fans all around you, guys who think you're a superhero, and they want to talk to you during class, and they want to pester you and bother you. I would say that happens a lot. So, I mean, just stay out of people, you know, people can't get in your way if you're online.
Mm-hmm.
All while trying to remain conscientious of protecting yourself.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I'm saying you can be safe and take that annoying part of in-person classes out. It's kind of a win-win. But I don't know what it's like to be a Division I athlete in in-person classes.
Yeah, I definitely don't know that either.
This is just assumptions.
I know what it's like to be the regular student.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's not fun either. So.
Not a whole lot of thing about the actual learning part of college that's fun. Anyway, so.
No.
Yeah, not a whole lot of fun.
Most of the stuff that goes against the learning is the most fun.
That's why we really go.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit this first break of the program for your Thursday pre-4th of July edition of Overtime, and we will open up these phone lines for you as well at 865-546-8200, 546-8200. We are going to be back with more of the program after this. Alrighty, got a couple of big breaking news items to get to here. Let's go ahead and start down in Tuscaloosa. Not a good look for the University of Alabama as I'm about to get to this right now. When does Alabama really have a good look to begin with? Let's be honest. But this is breaking news. So, Bryant-Denny Stadium down there is under renovation. And this seems like an update because I remember talking about this over a month ago when there was an outbreak of COVID among construction workers down at Bryant-Denny. Well, new breaking news, at least 35 construction workers, 3-5, that's Kevin Durant. Well, old Kevin Durant, he's 7 now or whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah, 35 of them tested positive for COVID. Though the job site hasn't been shut down as the deadline to complete the renovation is looming. Ugh, that's a bad look all around. You let an outbreak spread around your construction workers, who knows if they're being well paid or not, and then you have the outbreak happen and you don't stop work.
So what you're saying is the Alabama University prioritizes money and getting their stadium done over the health and well-being of those working on their stadium.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not shocked.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, who's saying keep going? The university or the company, the construction company?
I'm getting in the actual story right now to see.
How many? 35?
35 today. This is the second wave. There was a first cluster back in May.
That's a lot of people. I mean, how many people? I'm sure there's way more than 35 that are on that construction crew. There's probably over 100, probably close to 200 people. But that's still a large chunk of those guys.
So, okay, here's more info about the specifics of the project. It's a $107 million renovation of Bryant-Denny. It's involved the addition of luxury suites, displacing some longtime season ticket holders. Oh, it sucks for them.
Oh, those poor people.
Sorry, Bammers. The first home game scheduled for September the 12th, and the deadline for completing the project is in mid-August.
Mid-August?
And as with any construction contract, financial penalties are a concern for contractors that run over deadline. The company over the project is Caudill Construction Company. They are the general contractor facing the deadline to have work completed in time for football. The company provided an emailed statement to a series of 10 questions, including those about working conditions, why the job site hasn't been shut down for an extended period, and why masks aren't required on the job site. That's your big problem right there. No masks are required.
Why? I mean, you're working on
it's a... Alabama, Tucker. That's your why.
You're working on a construction site as it is. You're probably not breathing in good stuff.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd say not one of them.
I would think you would want to have a mask on, even virus or no virus. You don't want that crap in your lungs.
So here's some of the statement. Temperature checks every morning in hand washing stations throughout the site or standard procedure, as well as strong encouragement to wear a mask and practice social distancing. Anyone who exhibits symptoms is sent home immediately. It's a strong encouragement to wear a mask, but they're not making them though. And now they have 35. So having 35 like, members of your workforce out is going to put a big dent in getting that deadline completed.
Yeah. I mean, how close are they to being done?
I don't... Hold on.
The deadline is mid-August?
Mid-August is the deadline. First home game, September 12th.
So they're a month and a half away.
Sounds like something out of Ozark, where like Jacob Snell's in charge of getting this done, and they're... Caudill, you better get this done by August.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some of the info from the workers. One worker said 12 and 13-hour days are common. Normally, construction crews work 40 hours a week, like most of everyone who works a full-time job. But some at Bryant-Denny are now logging more than 70 hours per week.
Wow.
Whew, what a check, though.
One construction worker said, on a remodel, you can't stand 6 feet away no matter what you do. Everyone is touching the same things all over the job site. Everyone is hand in hand, even if they don't know it. So just wear a mask. I just don't understand it. And some of the workers continue to spend time together even after work. About one-third of the workforce is staying in Tuscaloosa area hotels, with some sharing rooms to cut costs. Yeah, what a disaster. Oh, what a disaster.
Very on par for the company that they're in.
Good Lord. Yeah, I still don't... work was suspended 1.5 days for an OSHA investigation when a steel beam fell and injured two workers. The site was also shut down for about a day when workers first began testing positive back in May. So other than that, they've been working on this thing. I'm still trying to figure out how close they are to getting done. It's a big story here, but yeah. One workers told AL.com they'd never been required to wear a mask on the job site, and one estimated that only about 30% of the approximately 230 men on the job site wear masks. The heat, fogging of safety glasses, and inability to communicate were cited as major factors for workers not wearing masks. Ouch. Hate it for them. I mean, I actually do hate it for the workers. I mean, that's awful conditions to be
under.
Yeah. And then you have an outbreak like this.
And you're in Alabama.
Yeah.
That's tough.
So I'm actually sorry for them. I'm not actually sorry for the University of Alabama. Sucks to suck.
I hope it doesn't get done.
I mean, how hard is it for the university to step up and say, hey, let's figure out something where we can put this deadline off, extend it?
I mean, they may have to with all of this. This is an unprecedented event that you're going through. This is something that was bound to happen at a site like this where you already had one outbreak back in May.
I just hope they don't get the construction done by the time season rolls around and Bryant-Denny has just – it's a disgusting mess.
It's already a cesspool.
I mean, yeah.
It's just going to extrapolate into mega cesspool.
Yeah. I just hope it looks just terrible. Like the big blue tarps everywhere, like chain link fence blocking off certain areas of the stadium. That's what I want.
Maybe the workers revolt because of the conditions, and they sabotage those lights, those LED lights. So like if Alabama tries to turn them on for the first night game, they blow up. The bulbs just bust. It's just chaos everywhere.
Or they're just orange.
Ooh.
We got some Vols on the construction staff.
There you go.
Knowing Alabama, they'd have a lot of Auburn fans. They turn it Auburn colors. Still funny, though.
Yeah.
They're kind of our orange.
They're close enough.
They're darker orange.
I used to be a big Auburn fan in high school because not a big Auburn fan, but they're like my second team.
Of God, you were one of those, Tucker.
They had the same colors as my high school.
You were one of those, Tucker.
No, I wasn't. It's a joke that we have the same colors.
Oh, I thought you really were a fan because of like Cam Newton or something.
Cam Newton was fun to watch, but I mean,
yeah, he was, but I didn't become an Auburn fan.
I cheered for Auburn in that Iron Bowl because I didn't.
Oh well, yeah, you have. I cheer for Auburn every Iron Bowl.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like you kind of have yeah, to.
That's yeah. not hard to do.
I mean, the much lesser of the two evils.
Exactly.
The much lesser of the two evils. All right, so chaos going on in Tuscaloosa. Here's this other story, kind of breaking that we need to get to here. This seems pretty consequential here. So FedEx, big company, pretty big company FedEx is. Also, for years now, I think they've been the only one to sponsor the Redskins' current stadium when it was built in like the early 2000s, when they changed from RFK. So it's FedEx Field, and now FedEx. They have asked the Redskins to change its name. Seems pretty big.
FedEx has?
FedEx has.
Shoo, yeah, that's a big one.
FedEx has released the following statement. We have communicated to the team of Washington our request that they change the team name.
I was wondering when we would revisit this as a society.
This was like the biggest like social sports story in 2014-15.
Yeah, around that time.
You thought it was going to change then, and now people have just forgotten pretty much.
Right, and you know, I don't have a problem with the Redskins' name being changed. I'm not beating the table for it to change, but I think when you get into like the Chiefs, the Braves, the Seminoles, like
any that, team named the Indians,
right. Yeah. You know, that's I don't know that to me. Braves, Chiefs, those are like courageous monikers,
right?
That surround that team name. Redskins, I get it. Like I said, I'm not trying to bang the table at getting this thing done. But like back in 2016, the Washington Post reported that a poll found that 9 out of 10 Native Americans weren't offended by the Redskins' name. Now I don't know how big of a sample size that was. I think. You know, it's probably a few hundred or up to a few thousand. I don't know. But I think when the subject is not offended, you know.
That's an interesting argument because we've heard for years arguments why, hey, just change the name to like Red Hawks, Red Tails, something
right.
like that. I mean, you don't have to change your colors, anything like that. And I hear the arguments and I get that if this was just outright disparaging towards Native people in this country, then I would say, yeah, hell yeah, they should probably change it. But I'm also like you, Logan. I'm not beating the table for it to change, but also don't care if it does change. I'm not a fan of that team.
Right.
I honestly don't care. It does not affect me. And it's an interesting thing. Despite all the arguments against it, you brought that Washington Post poll, and when, as you said, if the subject at hand here is wide majority, at least from what we've seen from some of these polls, not offended by it in their own words, then how does it look if you are not part of that group and you're like more offended on their behalf? If
yeah.
they're not even offended.
Right.
Like, I don't, that,
speaking
like,
for
them. It's
like
them. A weird thing, right?
Yeah, I found that article you were just talking about. It's not a huge sample size, but they asked people from different districts of Native Americans from the entire
like a shotgun
so,
from
so
every
bunch
every
of different tribes.
Every state, you know,
yeah.
all that.
They
is
asked
five,
Cherokee, Apache.
Yeah, 504 yeah. people. So they asked 504 people. Nine of ten said they were not offended by the name. So they did different questions. They said the professional team in Washington calls itself the Washington Redskins. As a Native American, do you find that name offensive or does it bother you? 9% said it was offensive. 90% said it doesn't bother them, and 1% had no opinion. And then they even asked questions of, where was one at? It was 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 said they would not even be offended if a non-native called them that.
Hmm.
Small. It's not a huge sample size, but that's quite an
right.
interesting.
It's pointing towards that direction.
I'm asking an honest question here. Do some of them feel it as like, it's like a prideful name?
I guess. Yeah, 7 in 10 said they did not feel the word Redskin was disrespectful to the Indians.
Because as it's been framed by, let's be honest, the driving force behind getting them to change their names has been white people.
Yeah.
It's just, they're offended by it, but then like actual natives aren't offended by it. It's making me think like, huh? What's going on here?
Yeah, and the going back to the Braves name and what surrounds that, there are old school players, people, fans of color who appreciate the old caricatures of the Braves, like Chief Nakahoma. They love that stuff. And
wasn't the only problem with that dude is that he was white, though?
I think so. That is a problem, though. Well, yeah, that is. But just like the like a caricature on a shirt or whatever, or on a hat. But yeah, maybe Chief Nakahoma himself portraying a Native American. Yeah, maybe. That's a different. But yeah,
it's like different from the old what was the Indian's old Chief Wahoo?
I think it was Wahoo. Name?
That. I can understand that because that kind of looks like a big, like, caricature. Like, I don't know. It just looks like it belongs back in the day, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I kind of got that. I don't know, man. This has been a topic that's gone on around college and professional sports for decades now. This isn't something that's just popped up along with the wave of these other movements in sports we're talking about. Like the Native American imagery in sports, this is like one of the first.
Right.
To like really, yeah, really be in the public spotlight in regards to we need to have a conversation if this is a problem or not.
Or you could look at it as I mean, some people say it's offensive. The people it's about say it isn't. You could look at it as representation. Mm-hmm. They are in the national spotlight. They are the team name cheered by thousands of people, you know, their culture, whatever. It's brought into that national spotlight. One thing I like is with this article again, 80% of these Native Americans who are saying it's no problem, 80% of them are describe themselves as politically liberal, 85% are college graduates, 90% were enrolled in a tribe, 90% were non-football fans, and 91% of those were between 18 and 39. It's a large group.
And here's the important thing, too. What's been a common theme in these this past month plus here? Listening, right? You listen to the people who whatever issue affects the most, whether it be, you know, obviously, right now at the forefront, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, you listen to black people in this country. You listen to people of color in this country. Then at the same token, if you're talking about listening to Native Americans when it comes to how they see the Redskins name or how they see any other name, and then you see data that maybe you don't like, then you can't – you know what I'm saying? You probably just can't say, oh, that's null and void. Just because a lot of them who have been surveyed say they have no problem with it.
Right. And I think even the state of Georgia – I'll try to find this, but – I have read an article before where the state of Georgia a few years ago took this to local Native American groups in the state and addressed the name of the Braves. And same thing like you're talking about, Tucker. They're like, no, this like we don't have a problem with this. And, yeah. and the Florida State has gotten the nod from...
Oh, they had the blessing of the Seminole Nation.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of easy to see that this is like it's appreciation, not appropriation, you know?
If it's mocking a group, if it's like clearly mocking a group, yeah, that stuff absolutely has to go. But if you see it as a pride thing.
I just read something I hadn't heard before.
What is that?
It's a quote from a guy named Gabriel Nez. He's a 29-year-old Navajo who left his reservation back in 2015 to go study at a college in New Mexico. His quote is, "I don't really mind it. I like it. We actually call other natives skins, too. They call each other that. Some do." I mean, obviously he doesn't speak for all, but obviously it's a thing.
So what do we think? FedEx using this time right now to go ahead and make this
right. That's what changes it. That's what.
Do we think they're just riding the wave?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think
trying to be the good guys.
That's what many brands do.
You know, when this was brought up, like you said, several years ago, I'm like, okay, it's going to change, but then it was shot down pretty quick.
Yeah.
But now, you know, with FedEx involved, and like you said, riding that wave.
Once the money starts talking
of the current narrative, you know, I don't know.
I just don't like the idea that if Native Americans do support that name and don't dislike that name,
why are non-natives?
You're taking Native American out of the American lexicon. Like, you're taking it out of that brand. Yeah. So that's not really. I don't think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a group that's our government's put them through enough over the centuries. So at the least we can do is listen to see, hey, are you offended about this or not?
Right.
That's the very
if that poll was reversed. I'd totally I totally would be on board with it.
Absolutely. Let's hit another break here, and when we come back, we're going to close out hour number one of the program. You're listening to Overtime Fan Run Radio. Thinking of that song, thinking of Vietnam again, and I'm just having a picture of a bunch of troops being airlifted out of the jungle or whatever. That's what we're doing to Butch Jones. Butch Jones is taking airlift out of Knoxville, finally, I can't believe it has taken this long. This man has still been in Knoxville, at least part-time.
A homeowner.
Whenever he's not in Tuscaloosa. He's been here all this time. At least his house has been here. But finally, the Butch Jones mansion is on the market. Bye-bye, Butch.
I wonder who bought this thing.
Bye-bye.
I wonder if the person who bought this knew who it was.
I don't think it's been bought yet.
Oh, it's not been bought. It's just been listed. Okay.
As far as we know, this is still on the market.
Gotcha.
It's in the Oakley community. Where the hell is that? Is that somewhere out in Sequoia Hills? Somewhere in rich part of town? Oh, it's Oakleigh. Can someone look at where that is?
Yeah, I've never Knoxville? Heard of it.
But it's out there. Oakleigh.
Okay.
Is a 6-bedroom, 9-bathroom house. Why do you need 9 bathrooms?
It's about a 15-minute drive from here. It's not actually that.
Why do you need 9 bathrooms?
I mean, with the excrement that comes out of that guy's mouth, I don't think it's quite enough.
The house is over here on Oakley Way. Shoo!
I would say they're very nice.
Yeah, it looks to be off of Cherokee Lake.
Of course it is. Of course, it's down around that area. It's up for sale. It's a whopping 11,476 square feet. Over 11,000 square feet. Here's your asking price, by the way. For just a small fee of $3,795,000, this estate can be yours.
So that's where our money went.
It's such a nice looking house on the outside.
It really is.
Now let's get to the inside. This is what I want to focus on here. The photos posted with all of Butch's stuff still in there.
Yep.
It's hilarious. So our Austin Sanders, doing great stuff at fanrunradio.com, he wrote a blog about Butch's house being on the market, and he attached some of the photos of its interior as well. I'm looking at the big walk-in closet. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, but you have a lot of money. You got a bunch of shoes. Then you see up next to a window in one of the closets, there's an Alabama helmet. Or like a picture of an Alabama. No, it's like a framed Alabama helmet. That's what it is. So that's nice. Just right there in the picture, just to troll us.
Of course.
Next, little lounge game area here. Oh, this is so nice. This might be the nicest pool table I've ever seen. It's got this like beautiful custom design of actual like wood of the pool table, and then the table itself, orange power tee right in the middle.
Mm.
That's funny. Still hanging on to Tennessee stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He probably never used it. He probably just bought it for decor.
Yeah, probably.
He might have. Here's the worst thing. It's, I don't even know if this is the main living room. I'm going to assume it is, because in this living room area, in this picture, what I need people to focus on is the fact that there are, let's see here. Let me count. One, 10. There are 10 pitchers in this room. Guys, all 10 pitchers have Butch in them. He has 10 pictures of himself coaching or post-game or something.
That guy thinks a lot about himself.
I mean, he made pretty much a de facto shrine for himself. What the hell?
That's what he does.
He's got one picture of him leaving the band after we beat South Carolina 2013. Huh, big monumental win that was. I mean, it kind of was at the time, but he framed that. He framed that. He probably looks at that. What do you think Butch thinks to himself when he looks at those pictures, guys? He thinks, oh, these rednecks didn't appreciate me enough.
Man, I did so much here.
God.
They don't appreciate what I've done. Yeah.
Put on the right track. That's what I did. Here's his helmet that Shy Tuttle fell on. I mean.
Oh, I found it. I found the listing.
Oh, anything about the listing we haven't gone over yet?
Shoot, the back area, there's a pool. That is, I don't know if you guys can see that.
Oh, my goodness.
That is pretty.
I hate this man.
I hate him very much.
I don't like this man.
Oh, my God. That is a nice. It's got a waterfall in the pool. The inside, you walk inside, the stairs. Why don't we come as a community? Everybody in Knox will get together. Let's buy this house, and we'll do it like a timeshare. And once a month, you know, or like once a week, you know, different people can stay in it.
I'd burn the place down.
Yeah, I'd probably burn the place down, too.
I'd urinate on, like, everything he ever touched, pretty much. Is that too far?
No. So this is where all the money went, huh?
Yeah, that's where a lot of it went.
God.
Give ourselves a pat on the back. We bought him. We helped buy him that estate.
I just see that video of Drake's like, "We built this. We made this." Yeah, that's us. With this stupid big house with all this nice crap in it.
No, man. I hope every closet turns into life.
God, now you weren't lying about that closet, though.
You know what? We got the good news that Whataburger is expanding into Tennessee. Maybe whoever buys it can demolish it and just put a big Whataburger.
There you go.
I know that's not the best area to put a Whataburger,
yeah.
But I need something awful done to that place.
Could you imagine the poor soul who doesn't know, who's like maybe moved to the States or is unfamiliar with football, college football? It's like, gee, this guy did a lot. He must be some kind of hero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a something.
You guys, have you seen his home gym?
God, no.
It's a room here. It's got a ceiling fan, a window, a bench with no weights anywhere.
Of course.
Just a bench.
But Butch, known for doing body weight exercises.
A treadmill and a medicine, or not a medicine ball, a big fitness ball.
Yeah,
that's it. It's the whole room.
Oh, God. It sent us to break, Tucker.
It makes me angry.
This man did not deserve any of it.
He didn't deserve that.
He did not deserve, any of it.
Any of it.
For what he did from the second half of 2016 through all of 2017, he deserved to live in a Motel 6 somewhere in, I don't know, somewhere in South Knoxville. No. Not the Motel 6. You know the hotel. You know the motels I'm talking about in South Knoxville. Right.
Right? Oh yeah.
You know
the kind of motel that charges by the hour.
Yeah. That
yeah. There you go.
He deserved to live in one of those.
That's what he gets.
Getting disgusted talking about. Hour number two of overtime is coming up next. 865-546-8200 is your number if you would like to hop on this pre-4th of July edition of the show. Hour two is coming up next. Jesus loves you.